This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Sports remain in limbo due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. On Follow the Money, New York Post writer Matt Cannizzaro discussed the COVID-19 pandemic and how golf's major championships could play out in 2020.
Let's start backward with the Masters. The Masters is the one tournament that can take place a little later in the year because of the weather. And actually, frankly, Augusta National is probably be in better shape, or at least as good a shape, in November as it would be in April. Plus, it's a shorter field, so you don't have to worry about the time difference and the shorter days, you know, with darkness. So I think that makes sense. The word is October, possibly November. The golf course actually closes from May until mid-October anyway, for the entire summer, you know, because it gets very, very hot down there, and they maintain the course and regrow the grasses and whatnot and make their changes. So I think that would fit perfectly fine if it all, you know, works in the medical community, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, I don't know what to think about the British. I'm, you know, that's still a little ways down the line. You know, that's the one major that's still hasn't been affected, so to speak, yet. But let's say the British stays where it is. I could see the PGA Championship would probably take place sometime maybe the last couple of days of July or the first couple of days of August, because that's the window where the Olympics golf competition was going to take place. So that was going to be an open window in the PGA Tour schedule anyway. And then what you would do with Wingfoot and the U.S. Open, the word is sometime in September. You know, find a date in September along the way somewhere. You know, it looks like the Ryder Cup has not announced anything yet, but it's not going to shock me if they move that up a year like they did with the Olympics. So perhaps the U.S. Open takes that Ryder Cup time slot.
New York Post writer Matt Cannizzaro discussing the COVID-19 pandemic and how the golf major championship schedule could play out in 2020 when things return to normalcy. FanDuel has released prop bets on which teams will make the playoffs. L.A. Chargers, yes, plus 152, no, minus 188. Las Vegas Raiders, yes, plus 240, no, minus 310. On My Guys of the Desert, VSiN's Vinny Maiulo discusses his thoughts on whether the Chargers or the Raiders will make the playoffs.
I like the Raiders a little bit more than the Chargers. So either way, the likelihood of three teams possibly coming out of the West, I don't see that happening. Again, obviously, it's everybody's chasing Kansas City. I think that the Raiders have done some better things in the offseason. And again, with two first-round picks compared to one for the Chargers, I give a coaching edge to the Raiders as well from an overall staff standpoint. So, to me, I would tend to make this price a little bit higher in terms of the no for the Chargers.
VSiN's Vinny Maiulo saying he would take the Las Vegas Raiders in the playoffs over the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers to make the playoffs, plus 152, no, minus 188. Raiders to make the playoffs, plus 240 for the yes, minus 310 for the no. Make a risk-free bet on VSiN with the VSiN Plus free subscription from now until 7 days after a major sport returns. Get Point Spread Weekly, VSiN's digital magazine, 24/7 live video stream of VSiN programs and replays, and much, much more. For details on the VSiN Plus free subscription, go to VSiN.com. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
In the new Point Spread Weekly, out Wednesday, VSiN's experts take you through the process of making your own power ratings. Many of you have asked for more information about this topic, and now Matt Humans, Steve Mackinnon, Paul Stone, and Bruce Marshall detail their methods. Sign up now for a VSiN Plus subscription absolutely free. You won't be asked to pay until a major U.S. sport returns to action. Sign up today to join VSiN Plus. Just visit VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com to learn more.
Sign up now for VSiN's free daily newsletter. You will get an email every morning with news, analysis, and betting resources to help you improve your handicapping. Watch highlights from VSiN shows. That's all for free. That's all in VSiN's daily newsletter. Sign up at VSiN.com/newsletter. Why, it's like getting a postcard from your friends in the desert.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander. Alongside today, Danny Burke, VSiN's own Danny Burke. How you doing, Danny?
Gil, good to talk to you finally. It was great listening to Storytime yesterday, but now we can finally chat, so I'm excited, my man.
We can finally chat. That is in between interruptions, Danny. We have interruptions today. Chris Felica will be on the show later, and among other things, want to talk to him about something that sort of everybody seems to be arriving at the same time, which is I don't think they're playing college football this year, at least not on time. And I think it's sort of unrealistic to assume so with, you know, because we think of this as a sport. These are universities with actual students, tens of thousands, obviously, that have to be sort of wrangled into this. And he's got some insight on that. We'll talk to him about that. Won't all be bad. He's got a horse racing story as well. Michael Lombardi, the one sport that I think will actually probably be played in some form, to talk NFL with us. He'll be with us for most of the first hour. A whole bunch of questions for Michael, NFL related wise. We'll also get Jason Weingarten here to talk some MLB. And you and I will throw in some draft talk every once in a while. We could do that. Plus Adam Stanko this segment, talk about the impact of college basketball and pro basketball and the draft and how that will be altered. He's got some thoughts. Danny, do you want to start with an NFL draft proper too? You want to kick it off there?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get right into it, Gil. And, you know, I talked to you about this last night when we were kind of prepping for the show. And Jacob and I, we did these props on another show that we do here on the network. And over at Circa, they have these props for most regular season wins and most regular season losses. So over at Circa, we'll start with the most regular season wins. And we'll get your thoughts on it. At the top, no surprise, the Chiefs and the Ravens, both plus 425 for the most regular season wins. Then come the 49ers, 8-1, Saints, 10-1, Cowboys, 12-1, Bucks, 14-1, Seahawks, Eagles, also 14-1, the Steelers, 19-1, just to round out some of the top names. So when you look at that list, any names that stick out to you as of this point?
I'm going to say something very boring, but I think the Ravens are probably the play there at plus 425. I think that, okay. I think there's their record last year in many ways was very sustainable. And I do think that you can't underestimate the way that it ended, obviously, in the playoffs against the Titans. That's the short shot for a reason, along with the Chiefs. As far as some of the other ones in there, the Saints is an interesting one because in this time, the NFL always prioritizing continuity. And especially in a funky year like this where everything seems very shaky to begin with. Are we going to have a draft? Are we not? Are we having free agency even before that? Are we not? I think the Peyton Breeze combination, that it stays intact in that division. And I know Tom Brady's in that division, obviously, but I wonder if that's a division they might not be able to feast on. Some people think the Falcons may be on the uptick. I'm not so sure. So the Saints would be the interesting one to me in that category. What did you and Jacob come up with?
When we were looking at most regular season wins, yeah, I mean, look, the Saints, it just all comes down to what kind of impact Drew Brees have. I mean, we know how dominant he is, but it seems like he's on this steady decline of arm strength, at least. But he still has the weapons there. And now you add Sanders to the mix, too. That's another offensive threat. So I'd understand why you'd look at the Saints, especially with a little bit better value at 10-1. If I'm going down the list a little bit, for real value, the one that I circled out just for an absolute kind of long shot was the Rams, and they were at 30-1. Now they've bumped even farther down to 40-1. And the way I look at the Rams is, look, they went all in the past 2 years. They're probably not going to have enough room to make any adjustments this upcoming season, but they pretty much went all in. They have a lot offensively. They've added pieces defensively. Can they keep it up on the defensive side? That's the main concern for me, aside from Jared Goff. What quarterback could he become? Last season, we didn't really see it come to fruition for the amount of money he was paid. But, you know, if you're looking at the NFC West, if you don't think the Seahawks can keep it up, if Russell just is continuing to carry the load too much and the 49ers kind of have a hangover, maybe there's some good value with the Rams at 40-1.
Yeah, only problem there, and the reason it's priced at 40-1, as you obviously know, they got the Niners in the division. They got the Seahawks in that division. So those are four tough games to sort of start at with a base. And obviously the NFL, that's a quarter of your schedule right there. So it's tough, but I understand the reasoning on that. What about the worst team in the league?
Yeah, so this one I actually liked a little bit more. At the top, no surprise, the Jaguars plus 325. Then you get the Panthers, Bengals, Redskins all at 7-1. The Dolphins 12-1. Jets and Lions 13-1. Giants 14-1. And Gil, I hate to say it, but I love taking the Redskins at 7-1. I know they're your team, but I think the Redskins could end up with the most losses.
Yeah, look, they're my team when I was 13 years old. They're tough to shake, but the only thing about the Redskins, it's Dwayne Haskins and it's Kyle Allen. I do have a feeling Kyle Allen plays a lot of football games, if not most, for the Redskins. And, you know, while that's not a sexy thing, is that good enough to not make them the worst team in the NFL? Maybe. The real thing I will say about the Redskins, and especially if they draft Chase Young, even if Chase Young is not the second coming of LT, even if Chase Young is not gangbusters the first year, just if he's a solid contributor, that's a pretty good defense. That front seven is really good. They do have a lot of question marks in the secondary. So I don't know. I wouldn't rush to that prop to bet the Redskins. So that would just be my thought there. Adam Stanko is standing by. Danny, let's bring him in if we could. Adam Stanko, who hosts the Rejecting the Screen podcast along with Noah Kozlov, his buddy. Adam, who we ostensibly want to talk college basketball with, but really wants to talk about nothing else but Tiger King. Adam, your thoughts on the seven-part Netflix docuseries. How ridiculous was that?
It was incredible, Gil. I think we're all very thankful. We're grateful that we got a chance to experience the Tiger King once in our lives and all together. You know, we all did it together. It was a collective effort. So, it's been awesome.
I just want to say the two most underrated things about that, about Tiger King, because I'm sure they've been mentioned elsewhere. One, Joe Exotic's first husband's desire to do the entire docuseries while wearing nothing on top, no shirt whatsoever, right? Just going pants the whole way through. It's like, dude, you're going to be on all seven of these. He's like, I'm good. I'm good with just pants. And the other thing was husband number two's mom being okay with her straight husband going away with Joe Exotic. Two, clapping to Joe Exotic singing at the funeral. And then three, showing up at Joe Exotic's next wedding. Like, what are we, what is the greatest? Those two things are like not even top 10, but I love those things in that series.
I think she was working. I think she was working at one point at the zoo. And I'll tell you just one other thing for me as a producer, a little just piece of fine art here. They never described anyone as a former employee. Never was, you know, an ex-boyfriend, those kinds of things. It's constantly keeping it in the present. So you didn't know where this cliffhanger was going to end up. You just thought that, oh, this guy, they're going to still stay together. It's not an ex-husband. You just, you know, husband of Joe Exotic or employee at the GW. It was incredible. So, props to the producers and directors of Tiger King. It was incredible. Thank you so much for providing us with that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Danny, did you see that at all? You watch it? Danny Burke, not on mic anymore. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, let me ask you beyond the Tiger King. So obviously, look, this is, and then again, we could preface everything we ever say on this show with the sort of preamble these days of, we realize none of this is as important as what's going on in the world right now. And so we get that within the context of us trying to provide some sort of sports and sports betting distraction. You wanted to talk about the pandemic's impact on college basketball seniors, the draft process and college hoops, because I'm going to talk to Chris Felica, our mutual buddy, later about how, look, I don't think college football is happening, at least not when it's scheduled to. It's just too much to think, and kind of profane even, to think that we're going to play college sports and get together all these college students during this, when we don't have a vaccine, we don't know what's going to happen. What do you think about the short-term impact on basketball specifically?
Well, first, I think it's really interesting. There was a lot of talk early on about whether the seniors for college basketball would have another year of eligibility, and you know whether that would take place for next year, whether they'd be granted an extra year, just like we're going to see with the spring sports in college athletics. And what was interesting was I found that the reason that that was not granted was actually the biggest pushback came from college coaches themselves, and that apparently they were the ones telling the member institutions and the NCAA that they actually wanted to move on, that they felt like they had done their time. They were bringing in incoming freshmen. They had younger players, underclassmen that they were developing. So they really actually were looking forward to just moving on from the group of guys that they had. So I thought that was really interesting, Gil, a little inside baseball, if you will, piece of information that I had been given. So I thought that was interesting, first of all. And then I thought the draft process, I think, is just fascinating, because as of right now, plans are still being made. And this is on the college level. We can talk NBA in a moment. But, you know, whether this NBA season continues or not, we don't know. But as far as the draft goes, all plans are looking like we are going to have an NBA draft. Who knows if there'll be fans in attendance at that point. But we have players declaring for the draft, signing without an agent. And what's incredible is no one's getting in the gym right now. Gyms are closed. And the workout guys that I've spoken to have said, you know, it's incredible. So guys might be able to dribble a basketball near their homes, but a lot of even public parks are closed. So now you're talking about a lot of situations where guys can stay in shape by running or what have you, but the skill set is going to be entirely different. And plus the evaluation process is going to be tough. Guys used, I don't think the general public understood how much the workouts, before the team workouts, how valuable they were and how much they shifted drafts entirely. So a lot of mock drafts, which are usually sort of thrown off over the next couple of months as players rise and fall, at least their stock does, and as scouts get out and view them, that is not an opportunity. They're not going to get to see these kids. And so it's a very weird process. As guys say, I'm going to evaluate where I stand. Well, if you're not showing up in mock drafts right now, it's going to be very difficult for you to earn your spot a little bit higher up in the process.
I even suggested, Adam, and I don't know if it was to Michael Lombardi last week or Brent Musburger. I don't remember who I was even talking to at the time. But when it comes to the NFL, NBA is a little different because the talent rings true and you're not going to be that obscure in finding others. But in the NFL, like, I almost wonder if some of these GMs are going to get a free pass when all is said and done, when we look back at this draft four or 5 years from now, just what you were talking about, the inability to see work, you know, to have the workouts, the inability to do the due diligence that you would be able to do in any other year. You almost get the sense, and I wasn't laughed out of the room, by the way, with the answer, that these guys were like, well, you remember that was the pandemic and we didn't really get to flesh it out as much as we want to. So there might be impact in the NBA in a certain kind of way, maybe not exactly like that. The other thing you just brought up, and we're talking to Adam Stanko at Naismith Lives on Twitter, the NBA, if the NBA were to come back, and that's a large if, Adam Silver certainly wants it to happen, the layoff, you have some thoughts on that and the impact on the layoff.
Well, here's the thing, is that NBA players, and I think this is different than really any other sport, although obviously the landscape across all sports has changed with youth sports. But these guys, since they've been 8 years old, 7 years old, they've been playing basketball all year long. And as we've seen, the specialization of basketball players continue. And certainly summer is a time in which it's just critical for player development, individual player development. And then you're playing with your team. You're probably playing AAU over the summer. You might be getting with the trainer at this point, but you're working on your individual skill set over the summer. And then there's the team game throughout the rest of the year. No one is used to time off. And even you see guys sometimes struggle when they transfer and have to sit out a year and sometimes aren't necessarily the same player. And that's they're still practicing during that stretch. We're going to see an erosion of skills and also players susceptible to injury because of this time off. We're also going to see guys get way out of shape as well, and for good reason. And they're, for the first time, like I said, in these players' lives, or at least since they can remember, they're not going to be playing basketball. And even if they are, like I said, there's no way that you're playing in competitive games right now in a gym. It's just not happening anywhere nationwide. And if anyone were to find out, it would be just a lightning storm of media coverage. It would just be awful. So I think that we're going to see an erosion of individual skills, guys not performing to the level that we're used to. I think it's going to take a while for guys to get back. And I think we're going to see some injuries too, that are some freak injuries. And I'm worried about that. So you describe the way that people are going to be held accountable from an executive level in terms of their talent evaluation, which I agree with. But I also think just in general, the game is going to be hurt by this. Yeah. And I think there's going to be some careers that are really derailed. I think we're going to see some careers derailed.
Yeah, I have thought about the injury factor too. Again, we're way premature, but these are all things that are sort of swirling in our minds. Adam, appreciate a few good minutes, man. We would have had a Final Four right now. It's just still surreal to think that we're not in that space right now. But I appreciate it, man. Congratulations in advance on the new baby. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it, Gil. I appreciate you being privately owned by Joe Zott.
Adam Stanko. Coming back, Michael Lombardi right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, brought to you by the BetMGM app. Gil Alexander live from San Francisco, right here, Sirius XM channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo Sling and Game Plus. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the man who hosts the Lombardi Line each and every weekend morning here on the network, along with Patrick Maher, also has his own podcast, The GM Shuffle, his own book, Gridiron Genius, and of course, or I should say Gridiron Genius without the. And, of course, writes for The Athletic. It's our own Michael Lombardi. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Michael, before any football questions are thrown at you, I just want to thank you for the latest episode of GM Shuffle. And the fact that you have finally, somebody out there finally said out loud that Homeland, and I'm paraphrasing here, has to be the most overrated show in the history of television. Thank you for that public service.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, here's a woman who's supposed to be in the CIA, who is supposed to be a teammate, who's supposed to be, you know, follow orders, rank and file. And she's an independent rogue and does things that, you know, is just beyond the imagination. I just wonder the writers in the room actually think if we're this stupid that we believe it. And then also take it a step further, the dialogue between the president and his advisors. Do we think that it's that subliminal? Do we think it's that easy? It's really one of the most ridiculously, it's insulting to my intelligence.
I will even say this, the first season, which I think sort of unassailably is universally loved, right? The first run of episodes, people love those. Even then, when the show was good, the writing, I can't tell you how many times I said out loud, does the writing suck or is Claire Danes a bad actress? And I don't think it's the latter. It's that the writing was just terrible throughout it, and it distracted you from the show itself. So thank you for that. You and Adnan Virk, well done, sir. Well done. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
These are the things that I take away from your podcast. That and the cursing, the unadulterated cursing, Michael. I always appreciate that. First question, Cleveland Browns, they never come up, seemingly never come up, as a landing spot for the likes of Jameis Winston or Cam Newton. And I know people are like, what are you talking about? But the GM and coach that brought in Baker Mayfield are gone. Baker's not consistent, very hot, very cold. Doesn't seem impervious to injuries either, by the way. Wouldn't that be a spot that people should be talking about at all?
Well, I think what we're seeing in most of the NFL, and I've talked about this on the pod, is bias, right? So there's all sorts of bias. There's 28 biases that we deal with on a continual basis. The NFL is really a petri dish for bias, because there's all sorts of biases that goes into these decision makings. And the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to evaluate your own. And there's a notion of Baker Mayfield that there's a mythology of Baker Mayfield that far exceeds what he really is. But no one wants to have that conversation. No one wants to dig deep down and say the guy struggles to throw the ball from the pocket. The guy is not conducive to being in shotgun all the time. He needs to be part of the puzzle, not the entire puzzle, but he can't carry the team. Does some incredible things outside the pocket, but you've got to structure the team around him. Parcells said this years ago, and he said, look, there's really only about three quarterbacks in the league that you don't have to manage. The others you have to. And I think it ultimately, if you're the Browns, you understand you've got to manage Mayfield. Now, you're going to have to manage Winston, too, and you're probably going to have to manage Cam, depending on his health. So what are you doing? Like, for me, I think Pittsburgh should sign Jameis because it gives him a chance once Ben's done. I think New England should sign Jameis, even though I've been really critical of Jameis.
Wow.
I think you're buying low on the dollar. It's not the plan. Al Davis used to make me count every first, second, and third round pick that were on teams and add those numbers up. Now, they did not have to be the first, second, and third round drafted by that team. They just had to be first, second, or third round. Like, for example, Carl Joseph, the strong safety who's now at the Browns. He was a first round pick of the Raiders. He would count towards the Browns total. Okay. And Al always wanted to be over 31 in that number. Wanted to be over 31 at that number.
How did Al say that to you, Michael?
If we don't have 31, we got to get better. We got to find somebody. He wanted 31 of those kind of players of the 45 man roster.
Yeah.
So he wanted,
okay.
What he was saying was, I want the pedigree kid. That's what I want. I want pedigree. And I think that's really what you're asking me. You're asking me, why wouldn't teams want the pedigree of the player?
All right. We'll get into some more of that, Michael. Stand by after the break. Come back. More questions regarding the NFL, the only sport we might get. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. Chris Velika, Jason Weingarten coming by as well. Right here, SiriusXM Channel 204.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Don't forget to grab the new issue of Point Spread Weekly. It's our digital magazine. It is out tomorrow, as a matter of fact. VSiN's experts taking you through the process of making your own power rating, something that lots of people have asked about. Get some guidance on that. Many of you have asked for information on that. So we've got hosts and guests detailing some of their methods for you. Matt Heumann, Steve Mackinnon, among those who are in that group, Paul Stone, Bruce Marshall, Chrissy Andrews, Vinny Maliulo, Richie Bacciolari, Kenny White, Aaron Renning, a whole bunch of folks. As a matter of fact, in that issue, you can sign up for a VSiN Plus subscription absolutely free. You won't be asked to pay until a major U.S. sport returns to action. Sign up today to join VSiN Plus. That's at VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com to learn more. Michael Lombardi, host of the Lombardi Line, joining us for some more NFL talk.
One of my friends, who I know, who's a complete devoted gambler and devoted to the NFL, wrote something for this week's Point Spread Weekly. Bill Adee was kind enough to read it. It was outstanding. And he talks about teams that potentially could go from worst to first.
Ooh.
And the odds.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
And it's kind of an interesting. Yeah, I do. I mean, I kind of actually like the Jets in that category. You know, I don't want to spoil the column, but, you know, when you played with Luke Falk last year, you were playing with really seven men, not 11. So, you know, I think with the way the Jets actually finished up, that they certainly could be a contender for going from the bottom to the top, but no one's talking about it. So it's a fascinating column that I think bettors should take an interest in, as always in Points Bet Weekly. It's a good read as we prepare. Remember, it's preparation too that counts in betting, not just naturally betting.
Oh, that's for sure. By the way, I stepped on you. What's your friend's name? Did you want to share?
It's Wilson Hill. His name's Will Hill. So he's in there, and it's interesting how we became friends. So I would do on an NFL network. I would on Wednesdays, I would always do, I think it was the show was called Around the NFL or something like that. And every Wednesday they would ask me, I had to pick a game that would be an upset special. And it had to be the underdog, had to be the winner, you know, so I couldn't pick, you know, New England beating somebody, right? They clearly had to be the underdog. And I never, of course, naturally back then, I never said the line because God forbid that was taboo, right? You know, we could really destroy America if I would have said the line. And, you know, and so
God forbid.
And so I wasn't allowed to say the line, but I would have to say this. So he's a young man living in Connecticut. He's single at the time and he loves football. He's watching me do this. And I think it was the second week of the season I started picking upsets, and I got on a roll, and I won every Wednesday. I picked an upset winner all the way through to week 17, which I ran out of upsets. You know, I ran out of them, and he bet every single game so that he could buy his wife his engagement ring.
Stop it.
And so this is a true story, Gil. This is a true
story. Wow.
You can ask, you should have him on the show. And he'll tell you. And then he bought his wife his engagement ring. Now he's got three kids and we've been friends ever since.
Look at that. Making things happen, Michael. Matrimony and kids. You're responsible for an entire family.
I don't know about that, but he's been a good friend and he's smart football guy and a Vikings fan, to say the least, a Laker fan. So he's got his faults, but we'll live with that.
as we all do. Wilson Hill, then, also in this week's Point Spread Weekly as well, available tomorrow. All right, Michael, so I got a whole bunch of brain dump questions for you. Let me just go back to something we talked about here in the previous question. And I'm going to sort of, there's going to be some repetition to this, but Jamison Cam. And it does bring up this whole thing of, it's not nepotism, but it's sort of the NFL's version of nepotism. And I'm curious if you feel like this is more stark today, or this is more obvious today than it ever has been before. Like, did these teams get it right, I guess is what I'm getting at. Chicago gets Nick Foles, paying him well. Phillip Rivers goes to Indy, $25 million. Jamison Cam, like, I could make a case that I'd want those guys more than I would want Nick Foles and Phillip Rivers. It's debatable, but I could make that case assuming health. So for a lack of better word, again, it's sort of this, is the knowledge of player, the coach to player relationship that exists in the past, is that trumping talent these days in a way that it hasn't before? And maybe it has to do with the current environment we're in, that things are kind of shaky to begin with. You want to go with the comfort guy that you know and love, and maybe not take the riskier, what might be deemed the riskier pick. Anything to that?
Oh, I think there's a lot to that. That's what we called it, the Raiders. We called it scholarship. When you got on Al Davis's scholarship, you were there forever, no matter how good you were. And look, players are when you get comfortable with a player, you know, and you're not willing to listen to the alternatives, then you're stuck. And I think clearly that's been the case. And I think that, you know, like let's take it a step further. I wrote this. I said this on the podcast. Would you rather have Jared Goff, Cam Newton, or Jameis Winston? Jared Goff for five more years at $35 million. Would you have Jameis Winston at 1 year at say $5 million? And would you have rather Cam 1 million at 10 million, 1 year at 10 million? What would you rather have?
Yeah, I thought that was a great question. Yeah,
you know,
that was a great question.
But the Rams aren't going to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are never, because their bias is so towards Goff We need him for the locker room. The team likes him. We can't upset things. There's a thousand excuses. All of them are just really confirmation bias. And then they wonder why they're stuck. Bill Walsh said this years ago in 1984. He said, the NFL gives you an opportunity to improve your team every day. You just got to know when to take advantage of it.
I love that question. You even pointed it out with Adnan Virk on the GM Shuffle, your podcast, that even having to pause to answer that question about Goff versus Cam versus Jameis says everything you need to know about that contract. But again, to buttress my point, Foles is with Nagy, Kyle Allen's with Ron Rivera and Scott Turner, Bridgewater with Joe Brady again in Carolina, PJ Walker and Robbie Anderson with Matt Rhule and got paid well. It goes on and on in the NFL. And the bottom line seems to be stay on good terms with your college coach, your NFL coach. Relationships and familiarity seem to trump talent these days. Sorry about
Michael. It matters. Okay, go ahead. We'll talk. But it matters. Yeah. Look, David Caldwell couldn't be a worse general manager in the league. He still has a job.
Yeah, well, that says it all. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Just because they're football brass, football front office, doesn't mean that they're good just because there's only 32 jobs. We'll come back more with Michael Lombardi on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander. More importantly, it is Michael Lombardi, kind enough to join us for the balance of the hour here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. Michael, I bring this up with you. And by the way, you can follow Michael on Twitter. I should mention that as well, at MLombardiNFL, at MLombardiNFL. Every few weeks, I try to throw in a question about kickers, because I think for as much as we talk about the NFL, we make so little of the guys who determine so many of these games in the end. So let me just talk about what's going on this week. If the Colts sign, let me give you a hypothetical. If the Colts sign Steven Gostkowski, just want to throw this out. I'm not so sure that wouldn't equate to more wins than signing Philip Rivers, who they've already signed. And I'm just thinking, because, and here's the thing, it's sort of my baseball mind thinking about what you're replacing. How many games did Adam Vinatieri, in other words, cost the Colts last year? And then the under the radar signing, maybe it's not so under the radar, above our radars anyway, affecting two teams, Greg Zuerlein to Dallas. Dallas' season got completely derailed last season by missed kicks. Garrett constantly, as you remember, the clapper trying 55-plus yard field goals with Maher. And they actually stabilized when they signed Kai Forbath. Huge loss for the Rams at the same time with Zuerlein. I mean, isn't this a huge deal?
It is. And I mean, I think if Gostkowski's healthy, you certainly think that, right? I mean, they can make a huge difference. And look, I think that Dallas, you know, making the move for John Fossil is one of the underlying really smart moves this offseason, you know, to get a really good special teams coach. And maybe Zuerlein is losing it a little bit, but he still has the ability to be effective. So, you know, for me, I think that there's no doubt that kicker makes a huge difference, especially in a dome. I mean, the Colts, they just reacted way too late to that decision. There's no doubt.
I heard Phil Sims on the Lombardi line this weekend. I don't know if you know this, Michael. I'm an avid listener. Listen to every word you say. And he was terrific, first of all. Let me just say, he was wonderful. But among the many things that he said that were very insightful, he made an interesting point about Tua. And this spoke to me because as a guy who loves the Washington Redskins, the glorious 2012 season of Robert Griffin, I just remember when Griffin then had the injury portion of his career. I had friends in DC who are always like, yeah, but Gil, why has he always got to fall face first? They were always interested in the way he fell awkwardly. And Phil Sims said this about Tua Tagovailoa on your show. And I thought it was interesting. And I want to quote it. He said, every time Tua goes down, he does so awkwardly in a fashion you wonder if he'll get up after. And that was even before the major hip injury. And I thought that was an astute point. I've never quite been as high as Tua as maybe others have been, running threat, Not really. Brittle, yes. Surrounded by unbelievable talent at Bama, absolutely. If you put Tua on another team, just a decent team, and not Bama, are we discussing him as being a top five pick? Or really, is he vastly overrated? Certainly super risky.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Phil was brilliant. I thought what he said was absolutely right. And when guys get up and you can see that they're shaking up, but they're going to keep going, it worries you. And look, this whole notion, and I'm going to talk about today on the podcast, you know, it's the power of the media to control the narrative. Today we learn that Tua has been cleared. Now, yeah. No one asks who's cleared him. Right. It's his doctor that's cleared him.
That's right.
It's on his payroll that's cleared him. But yet we're hook, line, and sinker. Tua's cleared. Oh, he's cleared. He's fine. Everything's fine now. Right. You know, he's been cleared. Really? You think anybody's buying that he's been cleared? No, of course not. He's only clearing is in buildings. It's individual buildings. And so, yeah, I agree with you. Like at the end of every report, you need to write down why could this player not be successful? And and Tua is going to be, forget about the hit. Oh. Its durability could be the issue. And I'm convinced that if, because of that, Herbert might go before him. And what Phil said too, was brilliant. Put Herbert in Alabama. Put him on the Alabama team. What are we talking about?
Yeah. It's so hard to tell with all that talent around you. So hard. I mean, and so much pro talent, which Jacob and I will talk about that Alabama prop, draft prop coming up later on the show. So indulge me here, Michael, because why not? We have time to think about such things. But do you think there are any trade packages out there at all that would get the Bengals to budge off the number one pick? And I'm just going to throw out some random ones. Baker Mayfield, who I brought up earlier. I don't know, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., who was complaining 3 minutes into his stint with the Browns, maybe Baker in the Browns, number one for Burrow. So Baker and OBJ, Baker in the number one for Joe Burrow. And then always the Raiders are interesting, right? Because they have the bevy of draft picks. Derek Carr and both of their number ones, or Derek Carr or perhaps next year's number one. I mean, there are packages that are out there that would have to make the Bengals at least think about it. Do you think there are any out there?
No, I don't, because nobody really understands Mike Brown. I mean, Mike Brown is not an easy guy to deal with. Just, it's a little bit like Andy Dalton. You're not going to get Andy Dalton from him for basically nothing. And the only way you're going to get Andy Dalton is when he's going to actually have to pay that salary. Then you might have a chance to wiggle him. I think he's probably saving that move. But for Mike, he's not going to do that, because everybody, when he gets all those extra draft picks, that means more money he's spending. That means more money he's spending. And so the idea of gaining more picks means I'm spending more money. Maybe that's not really what I want to do, you know? And so I think that ultimately is the reason why I don't think he would do that, you know? And so for me, that's kind of where I would be on that.
All right. I love Lombardiisms. We're talking to Michael Lombardi, host of the Lombardi Line here at VSiN, of course, also with his podcast, GM Shuffle with Adnan Virk. And of course, the book is Gridiron Genius, also writes for The Athletic. I love Lombardiisms. One of my favorites from the past, something along the lines, and you'll correct me here, something about protecting your office. Do I recall something like that? For coaches and GMs. Guard your desk. That's to protect your office.
Guard your desk. It's the most important quality in the NFL is guarding your desk. And guarding your desk involves not bringing in somebody to compete against players that you've drafted, because you got to guard your desk. You don't really want the most competitive team. You want the team that's going to highlight your draft picks. But go ahead. I apologize for interrupting.
No, that's all right. I'm becoming my mother. I said protecting your office when it's guard your desk. Then I get back to Cam and Jameis again for a second, right? They're getting no traction. And so, you know, relatively speaking, of course, they'll end up with a team. But it makes me think about, you know, that coaches and GMs would rather swing and miss for a few years with a youngster, knowing it'll buy him an extra year or two on the job. Do you buy that? Especially, and again, it comes back to this current environment of the global pandemic of COVID-19 with the lack of prep time. And I talked to you about this, or Brent, I can't remember who I brought this up with, like, are GMs almost going to get a free pass if their draft picks don't pan out this year with all that's going on? OTAs not existing. You'd almost think, I guess what I'm getting at is you'd almost think that a veteran would be more appealing, but maybe not. Maybe there's so many things swirling that I just don't, you know, I don't know what the overriding dynamic is these days.
You know, I got the sense that, you know, this is going to be this draft is going to be a petri dish for studying really how teams behave. And if owners were smart, they would obviously really judge how their organization is set up, how they handle adversity, leadership in crisis, and then make the decision. Because ultimately, we're going to learn a lot about the people running these drafts. We're going to learn a lot about decision making in these draft rooms. And if you want to use the excuse, well, it's too hard, I don't have this, you know, then that's just an excuse. Because, you know, the poor guys that drafted in the 60s and the 70s out of the sporting news, they had to build their teams, right? You know, you get paid. You spent all fall on the road. You spent all fall collecting data. You can't not pass the buck and say, well, you know, it's too hard now. This is going to be difficult to draft. You know, I need more time. No. You don't need more time. You need to study. You need to lead through crisis. You need to make really good decisions, and you need to eliminate bias. And I think ultimately we're going to see the teams, the smart teams, and there'll only be 7 or 8 of them that are willing to do that.
Short shot at DraftKings for Jameis would be the Jacksonville Jaguars plus 250 for the team that he's most likely to land at. And then in Cam Newton's case over at DraftKings, it's the Chargers as the short shot at plus 150. I leave you with this, Michael, and you're kind enough to join us for the whole hour. I appreciate that. This has nothing to do with football, but it just sort of occurred to me the other day, and I'm just trying to see if anyone agrees with this. Rudy Gobert, as ridiculous as he was behaving, accidental hero. In other words, the fact that he contracted the coronavirus as early as he did, which caused the NBA to suspend their season, which then created the domino effect of all sports being canceled and so on from there. Accidental hero. He may have saved tens of thousands of lives. That's my latest theory.
You know, I think we would have gotten there without Rudy because we had, we had other guys too that did it. But, you know, I mean, look, through difficulty comes opportunity and reason. I mean, remember, Churchill said fear does the work of reason, right? And when something fearful happens in our life, it becomes a lot easier to reason with it. And that's where we are today in America. We are fearful. So when people say stay home, it's easier to reason with them. When you get stupid people that aren't fearful and they're on the beach saying, I'm going to party because it's my spring break, you know, and then you correct the virus and you get connect to the virus, you know, they're not fearful. It's only till we get fearful in this country or anywhere, you know, and Churchill made it famous because he didn't become prime minister until the Germans were in the Channel ports and they were fearful. Mm. And that's why they made him. So I think fear does the work of reason.
Michael Lombardi, host of the Lombardi Line here at VSiN each and every weekend morning before football, during football season, but certainly on the off season as well. Michael, thank you so much as well, man. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Gil.
Michael Lombardi, hope he stays safe. Hope you stay safe with all your loved ones, taking all the precautions during this time. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten on the way, talk a little baseball with him. Documentary recommendations on the way on A Numbers Game at VSiN.